the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eats herbs. Well, with those verses and more, we welcome you to this edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here, along with Brent Austin, along with Bert Harper. And Bert, it's always a blessing to be on the show, but it's doubly a blessing to be in the studios of the American Family Radio Network.
You know, they used to do television programs, and they say this program was recorded in front of a live studio audience. And I always wondered if that meant in place of a dead one.
Oh.
But I think it does mean good. Hey, we're at the same location.
Amen.
And people always ask, where are y'all? And I said, Alex could be anywhere at any time. I'm usually here. And he said, you're not together? I said, most of the time. I may be three or four times a year. We're here, and this is one of them, Alex. Thank you for coming in.
You know, years ago, I jokingly said if we ever changed the name of Exploring the Word, we could call this show Three Guys and a Bunch of Wire. And the reason I say that is because when I'm somewhere in the far-flung reaches of America, you know, the gear can malfunction sometimes. And Bert and Brent, they are so professional. When I'll be somewhere and maybe there's a hiccup in the signal and you guys roll with it. But to be here in the studios with two just beloved colleagues, and we know the gear is going to work.
Amen. One of the funniest things when Brent came on board, we were talking about it. I said, now here is the big question about Exploring the Word. We don't usually have show clips. We don't usually have a lot of guests. But I said, the biggest deal is, where is Alex, and can we get a connection? And he has found out that is the truth. But we're glad you're here. Activate Summit is going on. So that's
right.
A lot of people in Tupelo. We've had about four or five guests coming through, mm-hmm. taking tours. And so we're excited about you being here, being able
yes.
to speak and share. And we're looking forward to Romans chapter 14.
Sure.
It's different, I think, more so than any other chapter in Romans, in my estimation, because it's talking about some things about receiving one another and then also edifying one another. I think those are the two words. And I wanted to do something in starting of it, Alex, and I want you to look at this in verse chapter 14, verse 1. It says, receive one who is weak in the faith. Now, I know it's got more to say. We'll get to that in a minute. But then in verse 3 at the end, for God has received him. So,
yes.
We better make sure before we start trying to pin some things on people and say, no, I don't believe it. We can't be guaranteed that God hasn't received them. Now, here's the big issue, and it's in verse 1. And in the New King James, you said doubtful disputations in King James.
Right.
And here it says doubtful things. In others, it will say opinions.
Exactly.
And the word is that thoughts, you know?
Yeah.
Difficult thoughts is the idea.
You know, I was looking up the way this is worded because, let me say, there's plenty we all agree on, that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God, sinless Son of God, died on the cross, rose again. And on those things, we all agree. And true Christians agree that the Bible is God's authoritative word. But now, Bert, over the years of being a Christian, I've heard people get really animated in talking about when the Lord is going to come back, or what about the age of the earth, or things like election. And even things like, oh my goodness, I remember when years and years and years ago, there was a rumor that a major corporation had a New Age symbol in
their logo. Yeah, I remember that.
And, you know, some people got mad at me because I didn't want to preach on that. And I called a great mentor of mine, Josh McDowell. I mean, this is 25 years ago. And Josh said, Alex, that's false. I know people don't waste pulpit time on that. And they got a little upset with me. But here's the thing. Doubtful disputations, the wording means speculations of dissent. See, here's the, and There are things.
And the key word is speculation.
That's true. And folks, we all have some strongly held opinions. There is the Word of God that is, with argument, true. But on areas that aren't just set in concrete, and there's some of our best guesses, we need to give each other grace on these things.
We do. And the big things he discusses here are certain days and certain foods.
Yes.
Now, the reason that would be so important to the Roman church is because you have Jews that are in that church. Mm-hmm. You also have Gentiles in that church. The Jews came from holy days and the right food. So they were looking at it that way.
Rituals.
Whereas the Gentile believers, man, they've been able to eat anything, you know?
Sure.
Any day is another day. So be careful judging others about those, I would say, those doubtful disputations, those things that speculative. And here it is. It said, God has received him.
Amen.
It's a dangerous thing to say, well, they couldn't be a Christian if. I use this example, and I want to see what you think about it. I said, if you saw King David, a man after God's own heart, on certain times of his life.
That's true.
Would you have wondered?
You wouldn't have thought he was a man after God.
What about Samson?
Oh, my goodness, as well, yeah.
And he's in the Hall of Fame of Faith.
One of the great judges of the Old Testament. Bert, I'm old enough to remember that if the preacher didn't wear a tie on Sunday morning, it was...
anathema.
Yeah, and even things like length of hair. And look, I believe in standards, I really do, but really the externals do not definitively state the condition of one's heart.
Exactly. So here in chapter, there's two things. Again, the whole, if you wanted to put a title on this, I think, you know, speculative opinions, doubtful things, that's what he's discussing. That's what he introduces here. And he talks about you got to receive these, even though some might have this opinion about Halloween and others do not have that opinion about Halloween. That is not a matter. Keep your opinion to yourself. Don't make it an issue of argumentation. Do not do that.
Don't now, burn bridges.
Exactly. Now look at verse 4. For God, the last part, for God is able to make him stand. Listen, God is able to do that. God is the one that is working on them. If they're not quite where you are on these doubtful things, listen, let God do the work. Now, if they come to you and they ask you, you share with them why you do this or how you do this. But trying to judge them based on these doubtful things, whether they're believers or not, only causes disunity.
Well, and let me just say this. It amounts to adding to the gospel.
Amen. That's true, brother.
You know, and the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 5, of course, you know, I think about John 6:40 is another good verse, Romans 10. But the Son of God died on the cross in payment for our sins, and that forgiveness is appropriated to us through faith. Now, there's a whole lot about the Christian life that is really good to do, and I believe in Christian growth and sanctification, but we don't want to add to the gospel.
Amen.
And the gospel is the Son of God who died and rose again, and we receive him by faith.
Now, what the Jews did with the law, they added to. I forgot how many things they added, but the numbers were in the hundreds.
Yeah.
They had to define what work was. They had to define, you know, so that everybody. And so when you start adding to and putting your opinion, and I still think that opinion, your speculation on it as qualifications for salvation, you have added to that gospel. Now, again, verse 5 through 9, you know I'm going to look for repeated words.
Amen.
Guess how many times the Lord is mentioned in those verses?
I don't know.
8.
Really?
8 times.
Praise
God.
In
other words, he is Lord of all. That's what it gets to. And he's the Lord. And I think we need to read that. Is that all right for me to start in verse 5?
Yes.
Okay. One person esteems one day above another, and another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, For he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we're the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Here's what it comes to. He is Lord, Alex.
Amen.
He's Lord of the days. He's Lord of the food. That's the reason we ask the blessing. I mean, you know, he's Lord of all. That's why we pray for each day. I don't know about you. I try to report in every morning saying, Private Harper, here, sir, you know, at your service.
Yes.
And so here it is. This is him receiving. Whom God has received, we better be careful about what we would say to them. We would cause them to stumble or fall. Mm-hmm. And guess what it builds up in us? Pride. And guess what God hates as much as anything?
Pride.
Pride is it, isn't it?
Pharisaism.
You bet.
You know, because here's one of the things, folks, and this is rich in Romans 14. We have to keep separate convictions versus preferences.
And those are, that should be a priority.
It really is. And listen, we all have preferences. I love to look up a song in the hymn book and sing out of the hymn book. That's a preference. But you can
Do you read music?
I can read music.
So having a hymn book and reading music really makes sense for you.
It does.
But for me, the words being big on the screen and I'm not looking down, I'm looking up.
Yeah.
Man, I like that.
Exactly. Exactly. You can put godly music up on the overhead or on the big screen. And convictions versus preferences. Now, the convictions on which all of Christendom agrees are fairly few, you know? The triune God, the Son of God, the Word of God,
the Word of God,
the Church of God, the Kingdom of God, right? And then, and that's one thing I've come to appreciate. Let me just say, traveling as an evangelist, I've been in churches that you might call high church, very, very composed, and I've been in churches that are very contemporary, and I jokingly say from the mild to the wild, but here's the thing. It's all about Jesus Christ and his word. So we go on down here, and you're right, 8 times the term the Lord is up through verse 9. And then here's another. I'm going to look for the repeated word in really 10 through 15 is the word judge.
Or that's judgment. It. Yep.
Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? In other words, why are you saying, oh, he's not even a Christian? I'm more spiritual than him.
Yeah.
Hey, he says, don't set him aside in your heart like that, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of who? Of himself to God.
To God, not to one another here. That doesn't mean we're not concerned in one another's, but the one that really matters is the one who knows everything and not some of us who just know a little bit, Alex.
Wow. It's humbling, isn't it?
It really is. Hey, you're listening to Exploring the Word. Alex and I are here. We're going to continue in Romans 14. I think you'll enjoy it because we're going to talk about how we're to build one another up. Don't go away.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Bert Harper, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard that sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network Clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work.
When the feet
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Burke here. We're in Romans chapter 14. After this segment, we'll take phone calls. And that number, if you want to write it down, they're not open yet. They'll be open close to the bottom of the hour. We open them up then so people can call in. But that number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We'd love to have your Bible question today. Alex, I want to look ahead here and read verse 14. I think it kind of, I really do believe this is the crux of chapter 14. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That is maturity in the Lord. In other words, if you get your spirituality by what you do and what you don't do, that's a little bit wrong. But in righteousness, notice this, it's righteousness, peace, and joy. Every one of these starts from the inside, but they work their way outward to be demonstrated in the believer's life. Would you say that?
Amen. Amen. And I like what you say. To him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Hey, if you're convicted about something, then obey the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, let me read 15 through 17. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. In other words, don't just say, oh, you know, I've got the right to do what I want. It's too bad if it makes him stumble. No, do not destroy him with thy meat for whom Christ died. So if there's something in my life, even though I have the freedom and the liberty, but if it's a stumbling block, I need to care about that. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Okay, before we get to 17, I looked up this verse 16. Okay, copiously trying to follow Jesus, that's a good thing. But if my judging a weaker brother causes dissension or him stumbling, or me overusing my liberty could cause him to stumble, let not your good be evil spoken of. It really, your good fruit become malignant. A malignancy is something toxic and detrimental. And so liberty is a good thing. But if there's a weaker brother and my liberty is a stumbling block to him, I don't want my otherwise fruitful life to be malignant in the life of another Christian.
This was not only an issue in the Roman church, it was a huge issue in the Corinthian church.
Yeah.
Paul had to spend a lot of time concerning eating meat that was offered to idols,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he said the same thing. If it causes your brother to stumble, he said, I'm going to take that into consideration, and I'm not going to eat meat. And you don't, is it not flaunting your liberty, you know?
Yeah.
And everything, we need to have this attitude of humility. And some of humility is, yeah, it's free to me, so I'm going to do it. No, that's pride. You know, humility says, okay, if this offends you, I'm going to pull back. I'm not going to demonstrate that in front of you. And so here it is. And it's the word therefore. Notice in verse 13, he uses the word therefore to not judge one another. Based on what I've said, don't judge one another. And then in this thing about grieving one another, about what you can do and can't do, he says, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as, what did you say, the real word it says evil?
Malignant.
Malignant. So here it is. Do not, what does a malignant do? It destroys.
Yeah.
And you can even destroy them and make them pull away from church, make them pull away from any kind of growth that they would have. But then he sums it up in talking about the food and the days, because this was the issue that they were dealing with, even in Corinth and Rome. And I think even if you get a little bit of it, you get it even in Galatia, there was some of this going on as well. Divisions over certain things. Mm-hmm. And he says this, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not my list. Okay, I don't smoke. I don't chew. I don't run a, you remember the rest of that? Round of those that do.
Yes.
You know, oh, I've checked those off. I'm all right with God.
Yeah.
But you can be on the inside filled with pride, filled with bitterness and anger. And what? It says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The indwelling Holy Spirit of God, working the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit. Would you say that is kind of a miniature here of the fruit of the Spirit, Alex?
Well, absolutely. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, the externals, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Okay, we have righteousness, peace with God through Jesus Christ. We can have peace with each other through the indwelling Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from understanding and managing the grace that's been entrusted to us, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I really think in verse 17, the balanced Christian life, it deals with, you know, peace with God, peace with each other, and peace within ourselves, joy
that's
in the Holy
point.
Spirit.
And notice he just says peace. The peace of God and the peace with God.
So and it peace with each other.
And with each other. The peace of God and the peace with God brings on what? It should bring on the peace with one another. If you're at peace inwardly, it should work its way outwardly. Is that a true statement?
Exactly. And let me say, Christians can find just anything to get riled up about. I mean, look, I love the church. I'm in a different church every weekend. It's a blessing. What God has allowed me to experience traveling all over creation, it seems like. But and I grew up, Sunday morning church was at 11 a.m. Sunday school was 9:45. Preaching was at 11. Is that kind of the timetable that you grew up under?
I thought that was in one of the books in the Bible.
But
it wasn't. I found out it was not.
Levi Tychus. I have had people that wanted me to get on their bandwagon and, you know, have an insurrection because a service got moved to 10:30 or something like that. I actually know a church, a very good conservative church. I don't know why, but they have preaching at like 9:30, and Sunday school, a.k.a. Bible study, is like at 11.
I've been interim pastor to the church that way. Yeah.
And listen, I know what I grew up on. I know my preferences, but that's not a hill I'm going to die on. Praise God, at least we're having church. You know what I mean? And so let me just say this too.
What about aversion?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead and bring that up. Are you more spiritual? I mean, you use the King James and you love it. You memorized in it. Does that make you more spiritual than me
because I use
the New King James Version?
Not one bit. I actually bought this Bible in Tupelo probably 5 years ago. But the King James, although it's been around 400 years, you're not more spiritual using the King James.
You mean filleth and lieth and is not more holy conversation than filling up or?
No, it isn't.
Okay. I'm being a little Elizabethan suffixes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because, hey, maybe you read the ESV or the Holman Christian Standard or the New King James or the NIV. You know, but listen, it's the Word of God faithfully translated. And so, you know, it says in verse 15, I don't mean to go backwards, but in our rigidness, we are not to destroy a weaker brother.
That's it. That word is in there, isn't it?
It is. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify one another. And I'm not saying compromise. I'm not saying water down. I think if anybody knows Bert and Alex, I think we have just done our utmost to be true to the Word of God. But there's some things that you would, you know, draw a line in the sand over, and then other things you just give grace and give space.
When the Bible makes it plain, this is salvation is by grace through faith. It makes it plain that marriage is a man and a woman.
Yeah.
Okay? When the Bible makes it plain that murder is evil. I mean, it's wrong. It's sin. We declare that. We do not back up on that. But these go back again to chapter 14, verse 1, as it says in the King James Version, doubtful disputations.
Yes.
Listen, when there's a leeway there, don't be so hard-headed, I'm going to do it your way. Now, verse 19, the last two words, I think, set up the second part of this chapter. The first part is, it says in verse 3, God has received the person. Now, in verse 19, we're to edify one another, build one another up. Now, Alex, does edifying mean that we always agree?
No.
It does not. So, guess what I've learned sometimes? Some things that I had in mind that I thought, man, this is conviction, and maybe music. Let me just go there. With music, certain ways, and I found out, Bert, that's a preference. You better dial back.
Yeah.
And so edifying one another does not mean, total agreement, but it does mean we receive them as a brother and sister in Christ, and we strengthen one another, we pray for one another, and we help one another.
Amen. We do. You know, I'm not going to belabor this point, but 55 years ago was the Jesus movement, and it really was a great awakening. I mean, really. And I was talking to a pastor from Michigan who talked about they protested and picketed in front of Gaither concerts in the early 70s that Christian rock and roll. All right.
Now, I'm sorry.
I know. But they did, seriously. Now, we know now, I mean, the Gaithers, he wrote Because He Lives and It Is Finished, and He Touched Me. I mean, Bill Gaither is like a modern-day Fanny Crosby.
Yeah.
Everybody loves the Gaithers. But there was a time when people, I mean, they talking about majoring on the minors, you know what I mean? And so let me read
this. Amazing Grace was not accepted that quick in England when it was first written.
John Newton's song.
Exactly. Was not.
Because it was great words put to a song, a melody line from the taverns, you know? But it says this, that we are not to, with our liberty or our standards that are personal preferences, destroy another. And it goes in 20 and 21, meat doesn't destroy the works of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eats with offense. In other words, if somebody is convicted in their conscience, then he shouldn't do it. You know, it is neither good to eat meat nor drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles. Isn't it something, Bert? God is not aggrandized by our obedience. God is not diminished by our disobedience. But what is the important principle here? Caring about the spiritual welfare of your brother.
It is. And I'm jumping ahead, but I want to do that because I don't want to miss it. It is all summed up in the last part of verse 23. Whatever is not from faith is sin.
Yeah.
That's it. So, yes, all the things that he's talking about here, it's okay. These doubtful things, these certain days, this certain food, yes, go ahead and participate or don't participate according to your conscience. That's the whole idea. But it better be a matter of faith, of trusting God, and not trying to impress people, not trying to coerce others to join you in this big, important issue of what version we should use or what songs we should sing. You know, Alex, am I stretching it too far? Is this
that's true? And I think about, and I love the American church, but if we could go back 25 to 40 years, I heard sermons against going to the movies, and maybe I'm just really from back in the country of the Bible Belt, but I remember there was sermons against going to the movies, and the preachers that were railing against movie theaters, they had VCRs in their house anyway. But I never really heard sermons about biblical worldview or let's stand up for morals and marriage. How do you witness to a Muslim? Now, I learned all those things just by the grace of God. But I do think probably from the 70s to the early 90s, we expended a lot of our gunpowder on the wrong things.
I could not agree with you more. We really did. And listen, major on the majors. This is what he's getting to, major on the majors. And again, let's go back to St. Augustine. I wrote it down to make sure you quote it quite often. St. Augustine said, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity.
Amen.
That sums up a lot of chapter 14. Listen, if it's non-essential, listen, have liberty. But on the things that matter, and Alex, you've given that list several times, salvation, the authority of scriptures, the resurrection, the whole idea, unity. And if you get out of line on those, guess what? Yes, we call that and say, listen, you better rethink that. We go to our brother in love, say, listen, the resurrection, the whole, everything we believe is based upon the reality of Jesus' resurrection.
There is time, I want to be careful how I say this, and you feel free to correct me. There is time in love to privately confront a brother about some things, this or that or the other. And I've done that. And
I've had them confront me privately as well, and it was helpful.
Amen. Amen. Well, this is Exploring the Word. Hey, we're going to take your phone calls. We would love for you to call in with a Bible question. The number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We've got a brief break, and after that, your calls. Let us hear from you.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
I've forgotten who I was. You reached out for my hand and found me in the dust.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert Harper, Brent Austin, Alex McFarland, so glad you're listening. Hey, be in prayer. The Activate Summit is starting tonight, just in a few hours, and if you're in town to attend, that's a wonderful thing. Maybe, though, you're not here in Tupelo, but please be in prayer that the Spirit of God will move in a great way. And, Bert, all the people come in to learn about biblical worldview, and I've got the privilege. I'll be speaking Saturday. I'm one of the speakers, but it's an exciting thing, and I believe God is going to use this in a great way.
I do, too. We've already had several people from Texas, Tennessee, Mississippi, Louisiana, I think it was, coming through. They've already gotten here, and they came to the headquarters and got to meet them, and it's exciting times.
Well, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go to the telephones and talk to folks, and right here in Mississippi is Jacqueline. Jacqueline, thank you for holding. You're on Exploring the Word.
Well, praise the Lord. I enjoy your program every day, and it has helped me with Bible study over the years. I have a question, though. I lost my husband. He went home to be with the Lord May 15th. Of course, it's been almost 3 weeks now. And what's going on is I'm getting loved ones saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit that is calling me, saying, has he come to see you yet? Has he visited you? Or have you talked to them? And can you show me where that's in the Bible? Because I thought that to be present with the Lord is absent from the body. And I am really, really concerned about those who are asking me that question. And I'll be quiet and let you all tell me, because I'm going like, no, I don't even have anyone visiting me. I don't have a desire. I don't see anybody. I don't hear anybody.
Well, Jacqueline, let me, this is Alex here, and then I'm going to throw it to Bert. But first of all, condolences on the passing of your husband very, very recently. And our prayers are with you, sister, and may you find your comfort in Jesus. But I do not believe people, quote, come back. In fact, I'd be very careful about looking for something like that. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. I believe biblically, all people, when you pass from this world, there is no coming back. And I would be very cautious about looking for something like that. Bert, what do you say?
You know, what you said and what Jacqueline Wild Alex said was you find your comfort in Jesus, not in a spirit that would come to you at night, a vision. The comfort is in Jesus Christ because of who he is, what he's done, where he is, and what he's going to do for you. I agree with Alex. There's nothing that would justify that in the Bible that I know about, Alex, at all.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope those around you that are talking about such things will have a more biblical view that, and folks, that is a reminder to be right with God, because when we pass away and leave this world, there is no second chance. There is no coming back. Let's go to Arkansas. Wayne in Arkansas, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, thank you, brothers. I've been a Christian 50 years, and I listen to you gentlemen every day. And I got saved in a Baptist church, and I believe everything that they have to say. And then my question is, I read so many places in Ephesians, several of the places about being predestinated and chosen, and I want that straightened out. And the reason I want it straightened out, because I thank God in his mercy, these people who live in the jungles, the law is written in our hearts, everyone's hearts. And so I don't understand if those people are trying to live by the law of God in their hearts, what's going to happen? That's all I got. Thank you.
Predestination. And by the way, I truly believe two books that are fantastic on this. One is by the late, great Norm Geisler, Chosen But Free, published by Bethany House, Chosen But Free, reconciling the foreknowledge of God and the responsibility of man. Another great book by the missionary Don Richardson, it's called Eternity in Their Hearts. That was published by Regal Books. Predestinate, for one thing, Romans, and we were just in this, Bert, says that if we are a born-again believer, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, which I think speaks of glorification in heaven. But what would you say to this, Bert?
I would say, listen, I understand God knowing everything, what the past is, what the present is, what the future is. Is that foreknowledge? Yes, it is. But the desire for everyone, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All. I don't see how you can twist that any other way or tweak it any other way to say that he wants everybody to be saved. That's his desire. But everybody has that opportunity. Judas Iscariot had the same opportunities all the other 11. He did not choose. Two thieves on the cross. They heard the same thing. They were in the same predicament. One was saved because they, what, responded to him. Mm-hmm. And if you respond to Christ, you are in Christ. Do not let the sovereignty of God do away with man's responsibility or free will.
Yeah. And you know, this is not a perfect illustration, Wayne, but I think about in the branches of the military, very often a private gets an order and he doesn't know all of the details behind that order. He is just to go on the assignment given. And I know this much, our assignment has been to go into all the world. And there's a whole lot of the backstory I just don't know. Billy Graham, C.S. Lewis, Gary Habermas have said, well, maybe people will be judged on the response they gave to the amount of light they had. I don't know. What I know, and it's, you know, the acronym PRN on an as-needed basis. What I know is Christ has told us to go into all the world, hasn't he?
And we know God is going to do what is right.
Amen.
And who is that? He's the one that only knows what that is completely.
Yeah,
we have it because he's revealed it to us, what we know, but he's the one that knows it all. Bottom line, we can trust him.
Amen. Amen. Michael in Georgia, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, I appreciate you guys. I was just wanting to bring up three things. Over 20 years, I've experienced where the weaker in the spirit of Cain goes to destroy the stronger one in the spirit, and it's affected my life. And the other is the whole system, state, and governments are teaching doctrine and laws. Hush, little Christian, don't say a word, when Christ's main heart cry of love is for us to witness. And the other thing was last Monday I was assaulted in my vehicle in front of my son and crushed both sides of the bones of my face. And where I was trying to go and reason with a neighbor over scratching and denting my truck. Mm. And they escalated it worse. And I ended up in ICU.
Good.
And I know that the Lord God kept me from dying.
Michael, listen, first of all, we pray for you concerning this. And I just want to tell you, we live in a fallen world, and this fallen world is cruel. It really is. And when you look at the history of the world, our hope is in Christ. We was talking about predestination a moment ago. The amazing thing that anyone is saved.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that God in his love would come. And I would say that to you, Michael, that sounds like God has you. I think he's going to use this in your life to be stronger in your faith as well, that he has. I heard it just this past week. What I've faced, if God wasn't in it, I would not be here. And so it sounds like God is going to use you, Michael.
Michael, we hope you heal up quickly with no lasting complications. Our prayers are with you, sir. Marcia in Texas. Marcia, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi.
Hello.
I listen. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm very sick, so I'm going to try to get this. I listen to you guys every day.
Thank you.
And I've been a Christian, since I was 8 years old. I was baptized. And I'm 75 now. And I got into some raid. There was in some sugar that I was using for iced tea. And I don't have any family to speak of. And I have a pastor and his wife coming over, but he's not my pastor. He's just from this city that I live in, which is west of or east of Dallas. Anyway, I'm asking for prayers because I don't know if I'm going to make it or not.
Marcia, we hear the pain, we hear the weakness, and our heart goes out. And I'm praying, I think we need to pray that God would bring some people to Marcia to encourage her. Alex, does that sound like
absolutely
that would be? We're going to pray for your health and where you're at, but it sounds like someone being there close by.
Yes, yes. Let's pray. And Marcia, thank you for listening to this show. Thank you for calling in. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up our sister Marcia there in Texas. And Lord, give her peace in her soul about her physical condition. And Lord, if she goes in the hospital, I pray that through the doctors and also through your just miraculous hand, that you would strengthen her body, heal any infirmities. And Lord, I pray people would rally around her. Maybe it's a local church she's a part of, or maybe it's some godly friends she's not even met yet. But she says that, you know, she doesn't really have a lot of family anymore. Help her. Lord, not only in her soul, have your presence and joy, but in her emotions, let her be positive and encouraged because you are with her. And Lord, even in just her day-to-day life, bring people around Marcia to interact and lift her up. And in all things, body, soul, and spirit, we lift her up to you, Jesus. And we thank you in advance for how you're going to minister to this, your child, Marcia. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Marcia, for calling.
Indiana, Shelley in Indiana, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
We can, yes.
Hi. I listen to you guys every day. I love you. Thank you for everything you do and for
thank
all of
you.
Us. I say this, that I've said it. At first, I didn't believe it, but I completely believe it now. I was turned 8 years sober May the 4th, and they used to say God brought me to AA and AA brought me to God, and God then brought me to you. And I was
praise
listening
God.
To what you were saying about the not basically it reminded me of the serenity prayer, what you were saying, you know, accept the things I can't change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I'm not going to use, you said something about you are not going to stay on that hill or die on that hill about something, you know when to stop. And when you were talking about the different versions of the Bible and how all of them, it doesn't matter which one it is, that it's all the same, God's word. And I just, what came to my mind was that, I'm very strict about my AA stuff, and they made a new book, a plain language book, and I was anti this book. I was like, no, we cannot have another book. This is the original book, and we only can use that one. And I decided I better read it, before I judge it. And it's not a bad book. And what you just said about it doesn't matter what version of the Bible I'm reading, as long as it's God's word, made me realize that it doesn't matter which edition, I guess, or which translation of the big book that I'm reading, it's still going to be helpful and save somebody, who can't maybe understand all the goofy words in the original book. But thank you for that. Thank you for bringing me to that.
Thank you, Shelley.
That realization, the acceptance, and that kind of stuff. So that's all.
Thank you. Listen, God grow in the Lord. Listen, God can use means to get you where he needs you to be.
Yeah.
And he's used AA, others he's used to bring it. But it's Christ. It is him that does the changing lives for eternity.
Amen. Amen. And, every day is a gift. Every day is a gift. I might comment more on that tomorrow, but I want to try to get at least all the questions we can. Tim in Tennessee. Tim, you're on.
Hey, I have a quick question in Colossians 1:15. Paul refers to Jesus as the firstborn of all creation. And then, of course, in John 3:16, Jesus is the only begotten Son.
Hey, let me jump in on this because time fleets away. I'm sorry, Tim. Interestingly, in the Colossians 1:15, the word is really prototype, meaning Christ first conquered the grave, and then all the multitudes of believers, they're going to come out of the grave as well, every born-again believer.
It's referring to what he's done in overcoming sin and death.
Amen.
And he did it, and it is a position, too. Yep. He is high and lifted up.
A prototype is like the first of something.
Yes.
The first Ford Mustang is worth millions. Well, Jesus is the first one to conquer the grave, but dear believer, you will too.
Amen. Alex, good to have you in the studio.
Let's do it again
tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow. Do Fire Away Friday tomorrow. Tell someone about exploring the word, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.